Welcome to the Midlife Reboot with Heather McAllister, your midlife coach. I am so excited to talk to you guys today. We are talking about how to find your genius zone. Now, this podcast is actually based on a book called The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks. It is probably one of my favorite personal development books. So most of the information that I'm referencing here today is found in that book. So if you want to go deeper into this subject and really dive into it, I would definitely recommend buying that book. It's not very big. It's an easy read, and it really can change how you look at the decisions that you're making in life, especially if you're not completely happy with where you're at. So I'm going to talk to you about what is the genius zone, why it's important, what might be getting in your way of finding it, and then a path forward into finding it. So this episode is actually for you if you are at any point in your life looking for a change because you're just not satisfied. You could either feel completely drained, maybe lost some confidence in yourself. You may feel like you just don't enjoy what it is that you're doing for a living, or just in general, your daily activities, the things that you do every day. Maybe you feel like you're okay at what you do, but it's just not exciting or meaningful. And overall, over the past 10 or 20 years, maybe you're just not feeling motivated anymore and you're ready for a change and you're not quite sure what that change should be. So keep listening as we dive into how to find your genius zone. So what exactly is your genius, air quotes, zone? It's the intersection of what you're passionate about and your natural strengths or talents. It's the work that you are meant to do that brings you joy, fulfillment, and a sense of purpose. So we're going to talk today in this episode on how to actually identify these things. But before we do that, we really want to understand what gets in our way of living in our genius or making decisions and fulfilling our purpose in life. So what are the things that are getting in the way? And also, what are the different, and according to Gay Hendricks, what are the four different zones that we can function in? So I want to definitely get into the nitty-gritty on that. But imagine waking up every day and feeling energized and inspired and confident in your abilities, instead of feeling like you can barely get out of bed in the morning because you're just not excited about it. When we feel energized and inspired and confident in what we're doing, we're living in our zone of genius. So like I said before, your genius zone is basically that sweet spot where your talents, your passions, and your values all intersect. It's where you feel alive and fulfilled, and where you feel you really shine. So Gay Hendricks talks about how important it is to find your zone of genius and to pursue work or activities that align with it. He argues that many people never reach their potential. And do you feel that inside, like you have more to give and you're just not reaching that potential? It's because you're stuck doing things that don't allow you to use your unique strengths and talents. Sometimes we fall off course. We do things for a lot of other reasons, and it's not always the best reasons. But by figuring out what makes you tick and what you're really good at, you can create a life that is not only successful, but deeply satisfying and meaningful. What gets in the way of us living up to our potential? Sometimes, and I found this out, that we don't even really know what our strengths are. And not to say that you can't develop skill and get better at things, but there are things that we are uniquely good at or uniquely enjoy and that fulfill us. And a lot of times we don't even know what those things are. Sometimes we don't even think we have anything valuable to offer. And that can happen because things that are really easy to us sometimes feel like they're not that valuable. So let's say you are talented in the kitchen and it comes so easy to you that it doesn't even seem like an important skill, but you love it, you enjoy it, you're really good at it. Somebody else may find that extremely challenging. So we have unique gifts and talents and skills. A lot of times we overlook them. So we're not even sure what they are. And that was definitely something that was happening to me until I went through the process of really identifying the things that I'm just innately or uniquely good at, and then also the things that I enjoy that I could do for hours upon hours, and it feels really, really energizing. A lot of times we just get stuck in jobs or situations, and we've made decisions to stay with something out of fear, out of expectations from other people, self-doubt. Sometimes we're limiting ourselves to reach for bigger and better things because we carry this belief about ourselves that we're not able to, or that we're afraid to step into the limelight, and we continuously make ourselves small. We can have all kinds of mindset issues that stop us from living to our potential. We allow fear and doubt and people pleasing to get in our way. And in another episode that I've talked about, perfectionism can get in the way as well. So all of these are fear-based mindsets that hold us back from really limiting our potential. And I like to think of it, and I think this, I got this idea actually from Gay Hendricks's book, but this idea of this glass ceiling. And that's what these barriers are. We have these glass ceilings above us, and we don't even know they're there, but we're holding ourselves back. We are holding ourselves from pursuing these great things and moving on and doing bigger and better things because of these mindset issues, these fears, these limiting beliefs. But we don't even know they're there. And that's what's so frustrating, because we know we want more oftentimes, but we don't know why we can't get it. And that's the work of really diving into your mindset. That's the kind of work that I actually do with my coaching clients, to identify those areas. They're kind of like your blind spots. You don't even know they're there. Let's get into the four zones, according to Gay Hendricks, and what they mean so that you can identify where you might be operating. Now, sometimes we're operating in all four of these in different areas of our lives. What we want to do is move more towards our zone of genius more often. So that's what's really, really important on this one. So the zone of incompetence is the first one. And these are tasks that you're not good at, that you don't enjoy doing. They're tasks that drain you and leave you feeling less confident. They are tasks that actually you should try to avoid or delegate to other people as much as possible. These are things that make you really feel inadequate. And there's lots of examples. This could be doing taxes, right? If you're really, really bad at doing your taxes, then maybe you find an accountant to help you out with that rather than putting in, you know, tons of hours trying to figure it out on your own. Now, that's just one small example. It's actually more important to, you know, the things that you're doing on a day-to-day basis that drain you, that are in your zone of incompetence, that you should try to avoid. Next is our zone of competence. And I think that a lot of us live a majority of our lives in our zone of competence. And the reason being, in my opinion, is that we've pursued things probably based on expectations of other people growing up and what they think we should do. And we work hard at getting good at it. And there's nothing wrong with developing skill, but these are the things in the zone of competence that you've developed competence at. Like, you can do it, but they're not necessarily things you enjoy doing. So you make yourself do them. They don't challenge you. They don't stretch your abilities. They are things that you can do, but they're really not the best use of your time and energy. Now, when you live the majority of your life in this zone of competence, you can develop burnout because you feel unfulfilled. Now, this may not happen overnight, but this is the sort of thing that when you are in your 40s and 50s, you're like, okay, I am just tired of doing things that I can do, I've been doing, but I'm not really excited about these things. So you just start to lose your zest for life. You start to lose your flow and creativity, your purpose. So that's your zone of competence. Then we have our zone of excellence. And these are things that you're really skilled at, and you may even excel in them. Think about, you know, as a kid, things that you were pretty good at that maybe your parents forced you to do, but they really weren't exciting or fulfilling to you. Maybe you learned to play the piano and you were actually really good at it, but it just didn't excite you. Never did, never will. But maybe you pursued a career playing the piano, for instance, right? So you know you can do it, you're really good at it, but it's just not something that excites you like other things might. These are things that you may actually receive a lot of positive feedback about, and you may even get recognized for them. So it kind of pushes you to continue pursuing them, but they're not really aligned with your unique talents or passions. They may even be, you know, skills or talents that are fairly profitable and lucrative, but not aligned with your values or goals. So you could think of this just as an example out in the world as an actor who's getting paid really well to do kind of silly movies, right? But they get tired of making those silly movies because they're not important. They're not in their area of passion or their area of genius, the thing that really aligns with who they are. Even though they're getting paid millions of dollars, they feel like they can't do it anymore. So that's kind of the zone of excellence. Now, it's okay to live some of your life in your zone of excellence, right? But if that's the majority of your life, or that's kind of your purpose is your zone of excellence, you may start to feel complacent. And you may start to feel like you're not living up to your potential. And then comes, lastly, the zone of genius. And these are the tasks that you are uniquely talented at. They bring you sense of fulfillment and purpose and joy. And they're tasks that align with your unique talents, passions, and your abilities. You find them meaningful. They bring out your flow, your creativity, and you just feel like you are living up to your potential when you're doing this thing or when you're using these strengths. When you're in your zone of genius, you are participating in things that inspire and energize you, and they allow you to make a positive impact in the world. They are things that can almost never burn you out because they give you more energy than you take. These are the things that you can spend hours upon hours doing, and it doesn't feel like work. And that is one of the things that, you know, I know that I'm doing the thing that I love to do because I can spend hours and hours doing what I'm doing. And I never get tired of it. It just doesn't feel like work. That's your zone of genius. Last but not least, how do we actually find our zone of genius? And how do we start living the life that we are uniquely created to live? A life that makes us feel excited and fulfilled. We feel truly aligned with the things that are important to us, all of that good stuff. So In order to live that life, the first thing that you need to do is to identify the barriers. So those are the mindset and limiting belief issues that are holding you back from taking the steps to face the fears, get out of your comfort zone, all of that to pursue the things that are exciting to you. Because I'm going to say this, even though living in our zone of genius can be fulfilling and inspiring, it can be scary. And you may need to face some of the things, the mindset issues, the limiting beliefs that hold you back in life. That is part of the game. That is just part of it. And we need to accept that that might create some discomfort, some fear, and require you to be courageous and persevere through that. But in order to identify those barriers, we need to really look at what is holding me back in life. Am I making decisions to please other people? You know, am I afraid of really shining? Some people are afraid to get out there, and actually they're afraid of success. Could that be holding you back? There's all kinds of things. There's doubt, there's worthiness issues, lack of belief in yourself. This is the work that you really have to start doing. That's the kind of work that is really helpful to do with a coach, because talking it through, creating that self-awareness, and then having a way to work through it can be really, really eye-opening and helpful. It is definitely something that you can do on your own. It just can take that much longer if you're doing it on your own. Believe me, I've been there. I've been stuck and doing all of that work, and it can be very frustrating. But identifying the barriers, identifying what are the limiting beliefs, and I'm going to do another episode just on identifying limiting beliefs. I do have a free mindset course. It's a 5-day program on my website. I will put a link in the show notes for that, because that can help you through that work and developing the mindset to persevere and use courage to pursue your best self. Okay, so once you've gotten through some of the barriers that might be getting in your way, your mindset issues, then you want to ask yourself, what comes naturally to you? Write down 3 to 5 things that you find easy or effortless. Now, these may not be your zone of genius necessarily, but they usually give you a clue as to the types of things or the underlying theme about what comes easy to you. So it's not necessarily the task, but the strength characteristics that you are using in order to do that thing. So, you know, it could be if you're really good at, you know, technology, building websites, or if you're really good at, you know, baking cakes, the creative process of that. So if you look at like a whole list of things that you're really good at, then start to piece together, what are the underlying themes? What's the underlying strength that I'm using in order to do this thing? And that can help you identify your areas of genius. Okay, then the next thing you want to do is accept that there are things that you are not necessarily good at. That's your zone of incompetence, and maybe even your zone of competence. And accept that those are weaknesses or areas that you maybe aren't as suited to pursue. It's not that you don't want to ever get good at some of those things. It's just not the place that you want to be focusing all of your effort. You want to be bolstering the things that you're good at, bolstering your strengths, and allowing to delegate and accept some of the things that aren't your thing, right? So, for instance, if you are a coach like me, right, but you're not good at technology, you know, instead of getting caught up in all of the technology and figuring that all of that out, you know, hiring somebody to do that part for you. Maybe you're not super organized and you need a virtual assistant to help you stay organized, that sort of thing. So rather than, you know, spending all of your time doing stuff that you're just not good at, you know, find ways to focus more on the things that you are really good at. Okay. And then the other thing you can do is ask other people, like, how do other people see you? Because sometimes we're really blind to the fact that we have these strengths. They're so obvious that we don't even see them. And I alluded to that earlier, but if you ask your family, your friends, you know, parents, people you work with, ask them, what am I good at? What do you see that comes easy to me that isn't necessarily easy for everybody else? Or what do you think my strengths are? So that's another good way to create some insight. The other thing is to think about problems in the world that are important to you that you want to solve. So this is going into meaning and passion. What are the things in life in general? Just think about what's important to you. What's meaningful to you? When you read the news, what are the things that pop out to you? When you go to the bookstore, what are the topics that you like to read about? What are your, you know, what would be your ultimate goal if you could solve this one problem in the world? So that could really give you a good idea of what your passion is. What is something that's meaningful to you? So now this doesn't have to be something that you pursue as a career, but let's say that the environment and nature is something you are really passionate and excited about. You know, can you volunteer at a nature center? Can you, you know, what are some things that you can do to contribute to your community in a way that helps your environment in some way? Or maybe you are, you know, excited about the idea of making things look beautiful in your environment. What are some of the things that you can do? Can you be on a committee that helps to beautify your environment? Maybe something that's really important to you is a sense of community and, you know, getting involved more with your church and giving back to young people, helping create programs. Like, come up with some really creative ideas and ways that you can tap into the thing that you find very meaningful. And in that same breath, what inspires you? Think about the people or things in the world that are inspiring to you. This can be really, really eye-opening. I know it was for me because there are certain people that I can think about that are in the news, in the media, or even just people that I follow on YouTube or podcasts that I listen to, and they find them really inspiring. What about them resonates with you? Because they're probably portraying a part of you that you see in yourself that either you identify with or that it just kind of taps into that part of you that is meaningful or exciting. You know, like think about, you know, for instance, somebody who really inspires me is Lady Gaga. I think she's awesome. She is totally okay with being herself. She is a kind person. There are a lot of characteristics. She's persevered through some troubling times. She is herself. And she appears at least to be comfortable being different and following her own dreams and her own path. And I find that really inspiring. And I think that is probably something within myself that I need to develop or be more comfortable with because it is something that's important to me. That is giving me an idea of what I value in life. And that's another thing is really looking at what do you value? What's important to you? And this comes down to, I'm going to just share this quickly. You know, one of the things that when I was there were a couple of things in high school. One of the things in high school that I was really excited about was learning science. I love science. It excites me, the human body, psychology, all of those things were naturally just areas that I loved to learn about and was excited to learn about. So that area kind of pushed me into going with healthcare. I also really knew that I really wanted to make a difference in people's lives. I loved working with people. I'm a people person. So that's another part of me that I value, probably one of my strengths. The last thing, though, and another one of my core values that I didn't quite identify, or I gave up on, or whatever, I lost confidence in pursuing life happened, was my value for freedom, a freedom lifestyle, being my own boss, being an entrepreneur. Now, when I was in high school and even in college, this was something that I knew that I really wanted to pursue, but I kind of gave up on it. And because I'm not living to that value when I'm working for a corporation or another establishment, I've never been quite happy. And after 25 plus years, it's wearing on me. And that's what pushed me to start my own coaching business and do, you know, all of this and get out of my comfort zone, right? I mean, creating a podcast, trying to do videos in my 40s, really uncomfortable. I'm not naturally great in front of the camera, but I have a passion to get my word out there and I really want to work with people. So that's what pushes me to do it. But identifying that value of freedom, which is really, really important to me, that needs to be a part of what it is that I'm doing to truly feel fulfilled. So identifying your values is really, really important. And then you can look at all of these things, right? One more thing is identifying your strengths. So we want to look at our values, what we find meaningful. And I alluded earlier to finding our strengths by asking other people what we're good at, but you can actually do an online assessment. And I would suggest doing the VIA Character Strengths Survey. It's free. And you can go on there and do, you know, it asks you a bunch of questions. And then it pops up like your five top strengths. Those are the things that you want to try and incorporate into your life more. So you can look at that separately and say, these are the things that are my character strengths. Maybe courage is a character strength, or creativity might be a one of your character strengths, right? And if you're not living with that creative piece of you in your day-to-day life, you can become very dissatisfied. So identifying your character strengths, identifying your values, identifying what problem in the world you might want to solve. What are the things that, in another way to look at this is, what are the things in my life that I've done that have given me the most sense of purpose? What did I absolutely love? What was it that I liked about that or loved about that, but then also what strengths were I using or was I using in those moments, right? So what were the things that's going to also give you an idea of, you know, your genius zone can, when you pull all of that together. And then the last question here is, what impact do you want to make on the world? I think a lot of us get in this sort of complacent competence zone. And we're okay. We're going through the day to day. We're sort of just, you know, waiting for retirement. Can't wait for retirement. You know, you're just kind of trudging through the day, right? Without ever really thinking, what impact do I want to make in the world? And sometimes we make excuses like, oh, it doesn't matter, or we don't, whatever. We kind of downplay it in our brain that it's really not important. But I think as human beings, we are wired to want to make a difference. A lot of us are. A lot of us have this drive. If you're anything like me, a little type A. Some people are happy and they are living in their zone of genius by doing things that aren't necessarily impacting the world, but they're living according to their values, or living and they're doing the things that really fill them up, right? Some of us need a little bit more. So if you are feeling like you need to impact more or do more or make a bigger difference, and that bigger difference can simply be being a great parent to your kids. I mean, I don't think that there's any job more important than being a good parent to your kids. And this doesn't mean that we're perfect, because we are far from it. That's a totally different topic, but yeah, we're not perfect. But, you know, how can you, if being a good parent, if family is something that's really important to you, how are you showing up as a parent, right? Are you leaving work at a decent time every night so that you're home to spend time with your family and your kids, or, you know, whoever it is that you're living with? So those are things to just think about as far as, you know, living to, you know, not only your potential, but what is meaningful to you, and using your strengths to do that. So that's another thing that you can do. You identify, what are the things that I'm really good at naturally? How do I incorporate that into my day-to-day life? Because when you do that, you're going to live more in your genius zone versus, again, into your zones of incompetence or competence where you're just not that excited. Like, it's just not energizing to you. So I'm going to end it there. I hope this was helpful for you. I know that in our 40s and 50s, this is a time in life where we naturally do start to ask ourselves these questions, or we're asking ourselves, what's next and why am I unhappy? So I hope this helped to kind of give you some clues as to how that might be showing up in your life and a path forward. I am available. You can go to heatherdm.com. That's heatherdm.com. And you could check out how to work with me. I do work with clients one-on-one to discover all of the barriers and create an action plan to move forward in life. So if you're feeling like you need a little more accountability and you want someone to help you out with that, I am available. If not, I hope you enjoyed this episode and you will return next time for another episode of the Midlife Reboot. Have a great day.